Life Audio. Thank you for joining us for Sound Reasoning with Christian apologist and minister Perseus Poku of Sound Reasoning Ministries. It's our prayer that today's program will educate, train, and empower you to defend your Christian faith with confidence. Perseus has his bachelor's in history and a master's degree in apologetics. We hope you enjoy this time of equipping so that you can answer questions to defend your Christian faith effectively. Now here's Perseus Poku on Sound Reasoning.
Welcome to Sound Reasoning. I'm your host, Perseus Poku. On today's episode, I wanted to start a discussion on the doctrine of ministry. The doctrine of ministry. And after a word from our sponsors, we'll get started on the topic today.
Hello, folks. My name is Derek Greer, and I'm reaching out to fellow pastors and church leaders just like you to join me and other Christian leaders and organizations throughout the nation as we come together on June 8th and 9th for National Unity Weekend. Together, we will show the love of Jesus as we serve our communities on Saturday, June 8th, and then preach from a shared text on Sunday, June 9th. To register, go to unityweekend.com. That's unityweekend.com to join us as we unite the church and unite the nation.
What impacts you every day? There is one book that influences almost every aspect of our lives. Museum of the Bible reveals the Bible's impact on your favorite musicians and artists, the way we measure time, social justice, our national monuments, and more. The Bible's impact is all around you. Discover how at museumofthebible.org/impact.
And this topic is very important because as a believer, as a Christian, we need to know what the Lord expects of us once we say yes. Once you accept Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, we have to know what the next step is. What is it that God wants us to do? How does he want us to live? What are we supposed to be engaged in? And for all of us, we must discover our spiritual gifts and know where to exercise those gifts. And the Bible is clear. God dispenses spiritual gifts to the body, and those gifts are to edify the body, to build up the body, to be a blessing to the body. We are interconnected as believers. And so when we say we are Christian, it's not enough just to use it as an adjective, but being a Christian must also become a verb. Nike says to do it. And in essence, that's what being a follower of Jesus Christ is all about. It's not about lip service. It's about doing it. And so in working with many Christians at various churches, one of the things that many pastors share with me is the lack of understanding among parishioners about their purpose. So as a Christian, are we clear on what God is asking us to do? Are we clear on what he wants us to be engaged in? Are we excited? Are we interested about finding out God's will for our lives as it relates to ministry? So Christianity is not just about articulating or using the identification of a Christian, but rather the functionality of a Christian is just as important. It's one thing to say I'm a Christian, but it's a whole different thing to say that I'm a Christian who is co-laboring with Jesus Christ, as the Bible gives us that image. We are co-partners with Jesus Christ as it relates to ministry. This means that God is using you to bless others. He's using you to share the gospel. He's using you to disciple others in the Lord. So the doctrine of ministry is a workshop that I normally do at various churches, and we share with the congregation. And it's already in Scripture. Everything that we talk about is nothing new. The principles are already there in the Scriptures. It's just a reminder of what God's expectation is for our lives. So if we get excited about the sermons, if we get excited about the Bible studies, we get excited about the retreats, we get excited about the small accountability groups. You may get excited when you go to the gospel concerts, or even get excited when you witness gospel skits and plays. You get excited about the things you do during Christmas time, and you go to the gospel comedies, and all those things are fine. But if we engage ourselves in those functions within a Christian framework, but yet don't realize our purpose as it relates to the sharing of the gospel, then we're missing it. If we're not engaged or connected to ministry, everything we do is supposed to point towards Jesus Christ, in the sense of not just putting on events, but proclaiming the gospel, teaching the gospel. That's important. That's what God has called us to do, to go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, whatsoever he's commanded us. And look, he gives us this assurance. He says, lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. And that's what he gave the disciples. But yet this message to the disciples is not just descriptive, but it's prescriptive. It's prescriptive. And by prescriptive, for those of you who've been listening to me, when I use that term prescriptive, that means that those principles, those instructions, those commandments are designed for all Christians to follow, meaning that it's binding upon the hearts of all Christians to follow it. So when it comes to ministry, it's not just reserved for your pastors. It's not just reserved for your elders. It's not just reserved for your Sunday school teachers. It's binding upon all believers, me, you, the person that sits in the back pew. All of us have been called into ministry. So when you join a church, we should not just join a church for the personality of the minister or pastor. We shouldn't just join the church because this pastor is a good preacher or this pastor is a nice person. We should join church also because we're interested in fulfilling the Lord's assignment for our lives. So if you might have a dynamic pastor, you might have great teachers, but if that particular church doesn't create an environment for you to minister inside and outside the church walls, then you need to find another church. Church is all about the preaching of the gospel, the discipling of the saints. That's what church is about. Church is about inreach as well as outreach. So it's okay for us to fellowship among ourselves, which is ministry, but also we need to consider outreach, sharing with the community. And when we share with the community, we must not forget the assignment. Again, this topic we're talking about is the doctrine of ministry. We can't forget our assignment. If you give out clothes in the community, if you feed the hungry in your community, if you provide shelter in the community for the homeless, all that is fine. But ultimately, we do those things to point people to Jesus. So if you do a good deed without presenting the gospel, we've missed our mark. If you provide divine service and you don't share the good news with those individuals, we missed the mark. The example is Christ himself. Christ never met a physical need without preaching to them. Even if he said, go and sin no more, he's pointing them to the reality of divine standards, meaning God has a standard for us to follow. And when we fall short of godly standard, that's what sin is. Sin is falling short of godly standard. So when Jesus says to the woman caught in adultery, we've dealt with the noise, with the gossip, with the attacks. He's dealt with that. He who has not committed sin, be the first one to throw the stone. And it says that they all walked away because they realized that they all have fallen short of God's standard. So in him coming to the rescue of this woman, he still didn't leave her from her responsibility. He challenged her when he dealt with her spiritual standards and her spiritual condition. So Jesus always dealt with the spiritual. He dealt with the physical. Then he's also dealt with the spiritual. So likewise, everything we do must be ministry related. Must be ministry related. So in the Bible, there's this term in the New Testament. Let us take a break to recognize our sponsors, and we'll be right back. And we say church. I'm going to church. I've been to church. We use church as an adjective sometimes, and church can also be used as a noun. The church folks or church people, however you want to put it. But the term ecclesia, or some people say ecclesia, it means church. And that word church basically signifies a body of baptized believers or a group of believing Christians. So we are ecclesia in the sense that we are local as well as we are global. So all Christians around the world, we all share the same mandate. We all read the same Bible and we all study the same Bible. And we all in principle are hearing similar messages. Now, I'm not dealing with the heretical churches. I'm only talking about the churches that are sound. We're global. We're everywhere. And this is the family of God. The family of God belongs to those who have accepted Christ as their personal Lord and Savior and have agreed with Christ that they're going to be with him in service. It's okay to be inside your church walls and lift up holy hands. It's okay to be inside the church walls and fellowship, but it's also okay for us to take the witness of Jesus Christ outside the church walls. And I always challenge individuals with this. Let's start at home. Let's be a witness at home. Because if we're serving at home, then it doesn't become a foreign concept for us to serve outside the home. We must get in the community. We must serve inside the church. We must find our niche where God has called us to. If God has called you to be part of the praise team, we have to be open to it. Are you in ministry? And again, let me qualify that, because just because you can sing doesn't necessarily mean God is calling you to be in the choir. Perhaps God is calling you to exercise your other gifts. Now, I'm not saying stop singing. Who can stop you from singing? I love to sing. I sing at home. I sing in my car. I sing at church when the choir is singing. I love to sing. But at this point in my life, God has prioritized other things for me to do, just like this radio show. It takes time. It takes prayer. It takes effort. It takes sacrifice. It takes more time to research than you can imagine to do one radio show. And I'm not saying this to brag. I'm saying this so you will understand that when God calls you to do something, we can't do it halfway. So number one, we have to be plugged in. And once you're plugged in, number two, you have to be faithful. You have to consecrate yourself. We have to be involved in ministry, ladies and gentlemen. God has called all of us to be in ministry. No one is like you. Your testimony is unique, and other people need to hear it. Then other people need to see us being involved. What would it be like if you and I and those that are sitting on the sidelines as Christians, if we all started participating and being active and naturally actualizing our faith, what would it look like? This world would be different. Our communities would be different if believers start living out the creed of Jesus Christ, which is being a good neighbor, and naturally presenting themselves and praying for God to open up the doors so we can build relationships, thus sharing the gospel. So ecclesia is the church, and that literally means the called out ones. We are called out. So when we say that we are part of a church, we're telling others literally that we are part of a group of believers who have been called out. We've been called out by Jesus Christ himself. We've been called out from degradation. We've been called out from the eternal punishment of hell. We've been called out from gossiping, called out from lying or bearing false witness. We've been called out from laziness. We've been called out from envy, called out from all these things that we used to be engaged in, but God has delivered us. We don't do that anymore. We've been called out as examples. Ephesians talk about us being trophy cases for God, and that's what we are. We've been called out for God to use us. So we're part of the ecclesia. We don't live unto ourselves. We are interconnected. What I do reflects the rest of the body of Jesus Christ. What I say reflects the rest of the body of Jesus Christ. We are interconnected. God sees you as important. That's why he saved you. That's why God gifted you in such a unique way, because he loves you and he wants the best for you. And think about this. If we're praying to God and we have a request, we go to the Father with our request, and God wants us to pray. But there are some qualifiers. If we have sin in our heart, you can pray all you want. Until you deal with that sin, until you confess that sin, until you turn your back on that sin, we're not going to get what the best that God has for us, because we've put something in between us and God, which is either our faithlessness or our stubbornness or our pride. God already knows. We just need to be honest with him that we messed up, so he can cleanse us of our wrong and we can go and do what he wants us to do. So if you're praying to God about a situation, but yet you haven't done the first thing he's asked you to do, what do you think is going to happen? God asked us to, let me restate it. God mandated us. He commissioned us to go into the highways and byways and share the gospel through profession as well as through our action. So we profess the good news, and then we live out the good news. And that's what ministry is. Ministry is both. It's not enough to say we have a soup kitchen. It's the ultimate goal to get people saved. It's not enough to have a closed giveaway ministry. Are we pointing people to Jesus? Or do we have a desire for people to accept Christ? Or is it all about doing good works? So we got to get involved in ministry. Ministry is what God used to affect the world until he comes back. Are we connected? Are we prepared with our own sermons? These are questions that we have to answer. Have we prepared ourselves in Jesus' name to be ready to give each man or woman an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within us, and to do it with gentleness and respect? 1 Peter 3:15. So ecclesia means called out. We've been called out by God on behalf of God to speak about God. In Matthew 6:18, It says, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Acts 2:47. So that's the book of Acts. It's the book of Christian history. And the book of Acts, if we were taking my hermeneutic class, I would share with you how to approach the book of Acts. The book of Acts is a historical document written by Luke to Theophilus, the anonymous one, the man with position. We don't really know a lot about him, but he wrote this book to prove a point. He wanted to record the account of how the Holy Spirit affected the early Christians to turn the world upside down. That is the core of the book of Acts. So when we see different miraculous events, miracles are rare events commissioned by God himself. And many of those miracles are not designed to be duplicated. They are a one-time rare event. If miracles happen on a regular basis, then they would cease to be miracles. It'll just be a natural occurrence. But miracles are rare, and they're performed by God. But when it talks about seeing a particular text or event, we can know or we can learn if it's meant for all Christians to duplicate if we have other biblical text that will corroborate what we believe the Bible is saying to us. So when you take a text in isolation, be careful. Make sure that there's supporting textual evidence in other places that can support the principles that you've deduced. So Matthew 6:18 says, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. And when you read that, that God is adding to the church, that's not just a descriptive text. That's a prescriptive text. Why? Because we find evidence in other books and in other places where God is using his people and he's adding to the churches. So we just don't find this in the book of Luke. We find it in the Gospels. We find it in Ephesians as an example. So God adds to the church. We must do the work. He's going to use us as vessels to go out and perform the task. But all credit, all honor, all reverence, all the credit goes to God. So remember that it was God adding to the church, and he's still desiring to add, but he also needs us to do our part. The church, as God's people, is first of all created and called unto life. This accords with the Greek word for the church, for the word church, which I said before is ekklesia, meaning called forth, summoned, empowered, lifted up. And that's the statement by Dr. Frederica Thompson, who is a historian and theologian. So the church has been called forth. We've been summoned and empowered. We have the Holy Spirit, right? We talk about being endowed with the Holy Spirit, and that's true. The Holy Spirit, he empowers us for service. But it's not just about the charismatic aspect, as many people profess. And I don't have time to get into that, what the functionality of the Holy Spirit biblically is versus what other people tell us. So the whole point on this episode is to present to you or to remind many of you of God's will for our lives. God wants us to be ready to share the good news and to be ready to connect to ministry in order to be able to share the good news. That's what ministry do. We create these small cluster groups in our churches, and we call them ministries, and God needs laborers to work within those ministries. So if you're not fully connected, I hope this podcast, I hope this radio show encourages you to get connected in your local church and to do the work that God has called us to do. So we're going to continue this topic on our next episode. We ask that you continue to pray for us. And we ask that if you desire to give, that you go on our website, srministries.org, and you can give in that way. Please share our radio show with others, as well as to encourage them to visit our podcast. For those of you who listen through podcasts, we are on Life Audio in terms of our podcasts. And, of course, you can catch us on the website. Again, continue to do for the truth what so many people do for a lie. God bless.
Thanks for listening to Sound Reasoning with apologist and minister Perseus Poku from Sound Reasoning Ministries. It's our prayer that today's lesson has equipped you to share and defend your Christian faith with boldness. Sound Reasoning Ministries offers training in apologetics, biblical studies, and systematic theology. Join in on discussions on Facebook at Sound Reasoning Ministries. For more information about the ministry, to send an email, ask a question, or support the ministry, visit online at srministries.org. That's srministries.org. Listen again next week at this same time. And remember, Titus 1:9 says, "Hold firm to the trustworthy message as has been taught, so that you can encourage others by sound doctrine and refute those who oppose it." Sound Reasoning Ministries, srministries.org.
And as always, we would like to thank our friends at Life Audio for their partnership with us on this broadcast. If you go to lifeaudio.com, you'll find dozens of other faith-centered podcasts in their network. They've got shows about prayer, Bible study, parenting.
The Historical Jesus Podcast is the sweeping saga of the life and times of Galilean Jesus of Nazareth, as well as the faith, religion, and church founded to honor and disseminate his acts and teachings. Join me, Mark Vinette, on this fascinating journey through time, exploring the many great works of Christian theology, literature, architecture, music, and art inspired by the words and deeds of Jesus Christ.